I'm going to be talking today about site-specific nematode management, population dynamics, and the authors of our paper are Charles Overstreet, Gene Burris, E.C. Magali, G.B. Paget, and Maurice Walcott, and of course I'll be presenting the paper this afternoon. Well, first off, I'd like to kind of get you going here and thinking in terms of nematodes and site-specific nematode management, and talking a little bit about nematodes in general. Most of you are familiar that we use a certain threshold levels for managing various nematodes. We have three major nematode problems in the Mid-South and Southeast and pretty much across the country. And some of these population levels that we have historically used as a threshold levels are the ones that you see here, with root knot ranging from about 100 to 250, and reniform anywhere from 250 to as high as 5,000, and the Columbia Lance is from 80 to 250. One of the things that we as nematologists have always long known is we get a response such as you see here that was presented by Greg Knoll in the Journal of Nematology a number of years ago to the Columbia Lance. When you have fairly low populations of nematodes, you get very little damage at all. As the populations begin to increase, then you start getting a lot more dramatic losses. And then eventually the losses will tend to plateau off. You don't tend to get a whole lot of loss injury from it anymore, simply because there's not enough roots left there for the higher numbers of nematodes to cause damage to. We've had other people such as Jim Starr and Zoe here who have also presented similar type things where you get responses as increasing populations of nematodes occur, you'll end up getting damage to your various cotton plants. And again, this is one from Steve Keating over in North Carolina, where he looked at the same kind of thing with root knot and reniform and a couple of different soil types, but basically he got the same thing here. With increasing populations, you tend to get increasing levels of damage caused by the various nematodes. Now, the problem lies, though, in areas like we have in Louisiana, where we have lots of different types of soil. And you see here from these general soil areas of Louisiana, you can see by the various colors that we've got a lot of different soil types. But we've also got a lot of soils that are influenced by rivers, the alluvial soils. These are our two major production areas in Louisiana for cotton. The northeast side of the state is the predominant area where we grow cotton. About 80% of our cotton acreage is grown in this area. And along the central part of the state with the Red River area, is about another 20% or so of our acreage. But these are fairly mixed soils in a sense of that we have quite a bit of diversity there simply because they are alluvial type soils. This is just to give you an example of some of the different soil types. It could even be found within a single field. This is a field up in Tensaw Parish that we've been working with. And you can see here we have four different soil types that are present in this field, from a Bruin silt loam all the way up to a Sharkey clay in one part of the field. So again, lots of variability even within the same field that we're having to deal with here. I got really interested in the aspects of nematodes and soil texture when we first started off a number of years ago from this particular field. We were doing very intensive sampling of these fields. These were on 1 acre grid samples, and we were sampling within the predominant soil type within that 1 acre grid. And look at some of the population levels of root knot nematode that you see here. You see highs as from 30,000 to 26,000, 24,000. Astronomical levels of root knot nematodes. So I was very impressed with these numbers, and I thought, wow, we're going to really have a great field to work in because we've got such a wide range of nematode populations through this field. We looked at the EC information. Most of you are familiar with the use of the Varis soil EC mapping system. We get a number of different types of readings from fields like this. This particular field, you can see here, the lower part of the field down here is a very light sandy area on up to fairly heavy clay area, the rest of the field up in here. So we did get quite a bit of diversity now within the same field, simply based on EC information, which tells us there's quite a bit of textural difference in this field. What we found, though, was after 3 years of putting out telome strips in this field, the only area of the field where we were able to get a response was down here in this red zone, which is pretty much the lightest soil throughout that field. And remember this area up in here that had these astronomical numbers of root knot nematode? We never saw any positive response from our application of our nematicide. So this really gave me a good idea that, boy, there's something going on here. And this is when I came up with this kind of epiphany here, that probably soil is a major component to this equation. And probably a lot of our nematode damage is probably driven more by this soil than simply by the fact of the nematode populations alone. We've also been in a number of fields like this in the past, and a lot of you have probably been in similar fields like this, where you've gone out and saw spots in a field that had nematode injury. This spot here where you see the root knot population of about 13,000 is pretty severely damaged by the nematodes, and you think, well, that's pretty good. The problem is where you see Maurice and Ben walking into this next part of the field, the population levels are much higher there. And in the past, probably we thought, well, maybe this is something related to the fact that the nematodes jumped on the plants early and it's called sunning and the other ones didn't. But I don't really think that's the case a lot of times. In particular, in this location, we changed soil types a little bit. And that's all it took to mean the difference of getting damage versus not getting damage here. We've had a number of trials and a couple of fields there that we've looked at for several years. This is just one of the fields here that's called the Levy Field. And we're looking at populations of nematode. And pretty much here we're looking at from the untreated plots. And I'm looking at the yield the following year in these. And what we're trying to do is, do we see the same type of relationship that I showed you earlier, where you get, with increasing populations, you get increasing damage? Well, obviously, you see here from our R-square and our lines, we're not getting a very good correlation at all with populations and damage by the root knot nematode in this field. I also looked at this field and looked at our response, which is basically I compared the difference between the telome and the untreated, which were side-by-side plots in the field, and looked again at the average root knot populations for these two response areas here. And again, the same type situation. We just are not seeing any nice strong correlation with nematode populations or even damage that's occurring here. It's just not there. If we do look at the soil component of this, which is the EC here, and in this case we're looking at the EC deep, and this is the values down here below are the EC readings from the deep, ranging from, again, from zero here in this location to a little over 40. What we find is we get our damage where we have the ECs are fairly low as far as the occurrence in the field. But as you get over here where the EC readings are much higher, we simply are not getting any response to our material there. Our other field is very similar to what we saw there with the Cemetery North. We do see a little slight decrease, I guess, as far as when populations are increasing, you are getting a little bit of a drop there with yield. And again, when we look at the response in the field, again, about the same thing, and not showing a whole lot, but just showing a little bit. But again, like we saw with the Levy field, when we look at where we get our real damage in the field, we only are seeing these real damage losses occurring down where the EC readings are low. When we get over here to where the EC readings are high, we simply are not seeing anything going on in the field. So this kind of puts me in the kind of this dilemma here. And again, pretty much classical nematology would suggest that as nematode levels are increasing, the damage and hence response to nematicide should also be increasing. And again, somehow this texture is playing a part in here. And again, the higher the EC readings that we would occur, which would mean a heavier soil texture, the less yield response that you're likely to get. Again, classical nematology says that as we get increasing populations of nematodes, we're going to get increasing levels of damage. Let's look and see what we got here. This is our field, the Levy field, again, where we're looking at our purple line now as our response to our nematicide. Again, the application of telome versus no telome there in these various areas of the field. And again, looking at our root knot populations. Well, the interesting thing that we see here is pretty much we're getting our responses to our nematicides in the field at the lower EC readings down here. And again, the major responses that would occur up in this area up here in the field. The reason we probably are getting a lot less response in this part of the field is there's some other issues going on. This is some other soil issues that are going on. That's why we're not seeing the large response in here. But the interesting thing that we see here as our response drops across the field, and you can see as our EC readings get much higher, we're dropping off our response to basically nothing. Look at where our nematode populations are still occurring. We still have very, very high levels of root knot nematode occurring up here where we simply are getting no response at all from our nematicide. The same type thing occurs in the cemetery north field. Again, you can see here the purple line representing the response, and the blue line represents the root knot populations. We only see a response to our nematicide here in this first zone, and you can see it again. The interesting thing here is as these responses decline, look what we're seeing here with our root knot population. Our root knot population has actually increased dramatically. So we're having this very high level of root knot nematode present here, but yet we're simply getting no response from that. So again, this has given us a pretty clear indication there's something more going on here than simply population dynamics alone. It's a soil component here that's really is meaning the difference of whether we get a response or whether we don't get a response. We also went out in these two fields this past year. This was after 1 year of corn, and we had had 3 years of cotton in this field prior to this, and we were able to get out this year and do some deep sampling. And we broke this down into different areas of the field. We call them transects, and you can see the designation down at the bottom down here where the L2 and the CN, the L stands for the Levy field, the CN stands for the Cemetery North field. And I have these transects arranged in here with increasing sand content. So basically this is throughout the depth here, this is the heavier part of the field, while this is the very sandiest part of the field over here. And we have it broken down in what we call our non-responsive soils and our responsive soils. And we define our responsive and non-responsive based on what we saw occurring over a 3-year trial with our telome application, with the non-responsive soils being ones, transects that we simply saw no response at all to our telome application, and we saw a positive response to our telome application and our responsive soils. The interesting thing here is when you look at the upper 6 inches of soil, you see here in the non-responsive soil and you see in the responsive soil pretty high levels of both root knot nematode. There's no way you could really have differentiated the responsive and non-responsive soils based simply on populations alone. But look down deep in these soils. Down below here in the non-responsive soils, we simply didn't find any root knot nematode. Where we have the responsive soils, you see that we have root knot populations that are down to at least 24 inches deep in the soil. So again, these deep populations of nematode may be a big factor also in what's going on out here. And again, in addition to their presence within the soil type that's present within these soils. So pretty much we're having to conclude here where you just can't ignore nematodes. You can't base your management simply on them alone. And the other part here is that to find out where some of these zones are in the field is a little bit tricky since you can't base it simply on nematodes alone. You need to use some other sort of method. One of the things that we have recommended is use of verification strips, and I'm going to talk about those just a little bit later. But verification strips can tell you where you're getting your responses in a field versus where you're not getting your responses. One of the things that we're looking at here, trying to resolve some of these issues, are can we use such things as textural classes? These are the 11 standard soil textural classes that are out there, ranging from sands to loamy sands all the way up to clays. Are these things that we need to consider when we're looking at trying to define thresholds for some of these? Can we use textural classes? Or can we use something like here, which is EC information? This is from the same field, and you can see the low EC aspect of the field is the top line up here, down to 24 inches, and the higher EC readings down deep are in the lower line of soil samples through here. But the interesting thing you see here is the upper 6 inches, the soil texture is very similar. What happens is when we get down deep with these lighter EC soils, you can see here this is a lighter looking texture, a sandier soil all the way down deep. But here in the higher EC soils, we immediately start running into a little bit heavier stuff, simply because you can see the way the cores don't break up very well. You've got a lot more clay content present there. So can we use something like that to help us define thresholds and damage potentials out there? These are what I'm talking about when I'm talking about verification strips. You can see them here where we have fumigants throughout the field, a strip of fumigant or a strip of non-fumigant throughout the field. In a field that we sort of have divided up in some fashion based on either soil texture or some other fashion that you want to break up a field as far as to try to define what's going on. And you can use these verification strips now to give you a better idea of what's going on out there, and you can make some changes as need be. This particular field was really interesting this year because of what we saw with it. That kind of goes along with what I'm talking about with nematodes and the fact that you can't always count on populations. Well, this is an NDVI of this field during this past year. You can see there's some areas in here that are in dark red that obviously very poor growth is occurring. This is one of these few fields that in my career as a nematologist, I've never seen damage quite as severe as I saw in this field this year. This is just a shot from those really severe damaged areas out there across this field. You can see there's a lot of dead plants. There's a lot of really stunted plants that are taking place out there. What we did was we went out there and looked at this field. We had some EC information about this field, so we're able to break it down into various classes. And we went out and did some zone sampling to our classes. And again, you can see here that we have high levels of root knot nematode present in the lightest part of the field. And again, very little root knot present in this part of the field down here. But look at what we have with reniform. We have reniform nematode throughout this field. And we have very high levels of reniform occurring up in the lighter part of the field, all the way across the field out here. But what really came home to me about what's going on here is when we looked at lint at the end of the year, we have lint in around each of these spots that we sample, about a 50-foot circle around each of these spots. And you can see up here where we had a lot of damage, we have very low yield, and the numbers that you see here are the root knot populations that were present. But look down here where you see these very high yields. You see here, these are yields in these spots here, over 1,700 pounds of lint. Most of our producers will be very excited to get 1,700 pounds of lint. But look at the population of reniform nematode that's present here. 98,000, 64,000, 65,000. Obviously, reniform nematode did not hurt us very bad in part of these fields. So again, it brings home the point that nematodes are very important, but they simply can't stand alone in some of these fields where you got these variable soil textures. And also, we need to, when we're looking at thresholds, we've got to consider a lot of other things such as soil texture and soil profile and so forth. And we also need to be sure that we can measure some of these things. We're a long ways off, we're not there yet, and there are a lot of relationships that we need to be looking at. And it looks like I used up my time, I'm sorry. And we have no time for me for questions. I'm sorry, I have to cut my own self off.